Hey, everybody. Fantastic episode of the show today. We are joined by a guest panelist that we'll definitely have on the show again. Greeny is the guest panelist. He is a Twitter analyst of crypto assets. He's also started a YouTube channel that's off to a great start. We talked to him about what crypto assets, whether it's NFTs, major coins, or shit coins, that he's paying attention to, as well as his kind of investment approach, his goals for this cycle. He's been in crypto for 8 years, so he has a lot of experience with mistakes, and he's ready to absolutely dominate. So super, super cool to have him on the show. The show is done in partnership with Unsellable NFTs. Go to the nifty.com/unsellable if you are looking to offset some of your misses for 2023 so that you can offset your gains and have some tax loss harvesting before the end of the year and have a better tax scenario for 2023. Anyway, last show of the year. Hope everybody has a happy new year. Stay safe out there and hope you enjoy the show.
Abrupt end. My bad, ladies and gentlemen. Friday, December 29th. Welcome to the NFT Morning Show. The last show of 20...
On YouTube, bro.
So we are live on YouTube,
yeah,
Nick.
He is.
Last show of 2023, Friday, December 29th. Already interrupted by Nick during the introduction one time. We will have a live tally of how many times he does it here on the last show.
I'm going to do it again just because you're complaining about it.
And there's the second time, ladies and gentlemen, Easy's providing the live tally. Today, we're going to be joined by a very, very special guest panelist. First time on the show, we're joined by Greeny, an up-and-coming content creator and trader, and most importantly, Bodago, to discuss all things price action on both crypto and NFTs, as well as his predictions for 2024. Greeny, welcome to the show, amigo.
Thanks, Pia. Thanks for having me, guys. Great to obviously be here. Been a long-time follower, so it's great to be on the show.
Absolutely, and you've been making waves on the YouTube scene and the Twitter scene in relation to, trading and technical analysis and, all things crypto. So we're very excited to get your thoughts going into 2024. Couldn't pick a better day to have you on for the first time. Real quick, I want to give a quick shout out. This is an essential shout out to one of our partners at Unsellable NFTs. Considering that the year is almost done, you have to remember that Unsellable is a platform that pays you one penny for NFTs that you're unable to sell on other marketplaces because of no outstanding offers or liquidity. So everybody that's traded NFTs has experienced this. I'm sure Greeny's experienced this. When you can't sell an NFT, it's literally worth zero. It's kind of a pain. There's no automated solution to get rid of it. Unsellable actually lets you offset your losses so you can write off short or long-term gains made this year and save a lot of money on your 2023 tax bill. We also did a 20-minute breakdown video that goes into this further. It was posted to X and to YouTube. Shout out to Clemente for that one. That video is doing very well. Our partners at Unsellable, they will buy your worthless NFTs off of you that no one else will and maximize your tax loss harvesting before the end of the year. So if you are interested in tax loss harvesting and saving money on your taxes, go to the nifty.com/unsellable. That is nifty.com/unsellable. And make sure you do this before the 31st. I mean, today's the 29th. You got 2 days to do this to have it count for this tax year. So don't miss out on offsetting some of your gains and ultimately saving money on your taxes for 2023. Anyway, since we have Greeny here, I want to get right into the mix. Signal, Nick, third interruption.
It's not really an interruption. I want to be clear. YouTube did not show live on my screen at that moment in time. I just want to be clear about that, but that wasn't what I wanted to say. Are we not going to discuss some of the key elements here, such like the top story of the day?
Well, we were going to go right into the weather report. Is all the right. Top story of the day to you the big old bag of Solana that's been moved to Coinbase?
No.
Nope, wasn't even paying attention to that.
Nope. That's literally not the big story.
What's the big story?
Kevamine.
Okay. The Coinbase, the Solana going to Coinbase is a bigger story.
No, it's not.
It's Kevin.
Yes, it is. It's like a bajillion dollars of Solana and versus Kevin Rose just telling Tim Ferriss that he did ketamine. And he was like, I went to a place, man. I went to a place.
Got stuck in a K-hole. Happened.
Yeah, right, fine.
I actually think the ketamine story, which I like the description of it, is probably one of the biggest stories. Everyone, I saw it on CNBC earlier.
Yeah.
Actually,
NBC, breaking news. Ketamine.
I don't know. I don't know what they're reporting on now, dude. They talk about Bitcoin all the time. I didn't know if they were like NFT founder does Ketamine. I don't know.
It was on Pardon the Interruption too,
dude. They were talking. They jumped between Steph Curry and then Kevin Rose doing Ketamine. No, the big story is just how big of a piece of shit Twitter people are. Crypto Twitter people, they're just dunking on him. I understand, you know, it's a little weird to go out there in the midst of everything going on and just vent about how stressful things have been. I kind of empathize with him though. You know, I heard where he was coming from, and his biggest part of the story was that, you know, he didn't realize how big Moonbirds was going to be. He didn't understand that if you hype the shit out of something and make a bunch of promises that people are going to believe that you're going to actually go and build something. He didn't realize that part. But in all seriousness, everyone's just like absolutely dunking on him for just being vulnerable, which I'm just like, wow, y'all are real pieces of shit. Like never exposed it. Pio joined in on it. I could see Pio just being like, oh, that guy's such a loser. Can you believe he did Ketamine? He probably went to see a therapist also. Oh, got him. Got him. Probably was talking to his therapist. Oh, were you sad last night because your wife, you know, said something mean to you? Oh, go cry about it. Did your NFT collectors get pissed off because you didn't deliver upon the promises that you said? Oh, what a loser.
A fun fact, I actually was not dunking on Kevin Rose. I also felt empathy for him. However, the point of that discussion was so that you would feel empathy for him. That's number one. Number two, I'd feel way more empathy if he had really been absolutely pounding the pavement from the moment that Moonbirds came out, which I don't believe that I don't believe that's the case. I don't believe that that's what was happening. I'm just saying, like, at some point you do have to like pound the pavement and have like this unrelenting hustle, especially when you're running like a business, a startup, which he should know about since he's run several. And the other thing that didn't help is that what's his name? Tim Ferriss also hard rugged an NFT project. And in the disclaimer of the project upon launch, he didn't write hard rug, but he communicated he was going to hard rug it. So it's not great to do that. Like, it's not great to go on a guy's podcast who harder rugged a project than you did and talk about, you know, the challenges of having a successful NFT project, you know, ultimately succeed when you didn't work as hard as you could have ultimately. I'm just putting it out there. Like, that's my take. Signal, you're a longtime fan of Kevin Rose and Proof. I'd love to know what your thoughts are.
It's two separate things. Sorry, I want to hear a thing. Go ahead, Signal.
No, I actually really agree on POs. I mean, having mental health problems is, you know, that's, you know, I definitely believe him on that. I think being a founder of any company, whether it's Web3 or Web2, is extremely stressful. Like, you know, if you're a founder, you know what I'm talking about. But I do feel like the optics of what he was saying was sort of, it's really because of Tim Ferriss. I think he chose the wrong platform to go tell that story. So from the outset, as an audience spectator, when you're watching that interview, you're just thinking he's on a podcast where, as Pio just explained, Tim didn't really want to be in the space in the first place, but I understand why he went there. He's friends with Tim. He wants to be vulnerable. So he needs to be somewhere comfortable where he can be, you know, where he can be vulnerable. It's also a huge podcast for sure. But I think like that message, given it was, you know, about Web3 and about Moonbirds, it might've been better if he'd gone on a podcast, which was sort of native to the space. So even, you know, and also for me, you know, what he communicated about having a brain aneurysm, et cetera, just made me think, okay, so next year he's definitely not going to be here. Kind of felt like his final farewell song in terms of, if we hear that Moonbirds does be acquired or leadership is changed, this would be the sort of the backstory, but the sort of the curtain to why this is happening. But I definitely feel like it was difficult to feel empathy for him when he used Tim Ferriss's platform. It's a little bit like, sorry to go off at a tangent, but it's the same thing when Prince Harry and Meghan went on Oprah. A lot of people didn't like it because they chose Oprah as a platform, and therefore they would never have been challenged. And that's the analogy I would use here.
So Tim and Kevin have a podcast that they've done multiple times together. So that's what this podcast was. It wasn't like he went on there just to promote this. He's good friends with Tim, and Tim and him have a show called The Nothing Show. This is a long-running show that they've had. They haven't done one in a while, is my assumption. So they put this back. But it wasn't like him going on Joe Rogan. I understand Tim does have a large platform, but it was the two of them sort of kicking back and hanging out with, talking shop with friends, doing another episode of The Nothing Show. I do think it was they were viewing it as sort of an end of year thing, and this happened to be one of the segments. So I actually don't think that that was necessarily the case. But Signal, you know, I understand a lot of people don't think therapy is a good thing, and attacking founders for going to therapy definitely makes a lot of sense. So I'm going to...
He shouldn't have been attacked. No. I'm not saying he shouldn't have been attacked. Sorry. The attacking was going to happen. Whatever Kevin has said this year, he has been attacked. And I completely agree. The most attacking has happened at this point. But, I'm glad that he's on his journey to get better, because it sounds like his health conditions are extremely serious. And frankly, if a founder's health is deteriorating to the point where they can't run the project, yes, they should step back. But I think that you can't just put that out there at the end of the year and be like, this is why Moonbirds didn't do well.
I haven't I haven't done ketamine. I have not. I don't think I have a potential brain aneurysm. So I'm good on that front. But I've definitely crapped my pants and taken anxiety medication. So those are two things that me and Kevin, I feel like we have in common.
I didn't even catch that part where he said he crapped his pants. Wow. Okay.
And he said he has IBS. So the, and look, over the past 24 hours, all I've been doing is hanging out on the toilet, P.O. And so that's thanks to hanging out with, family relatives who are sub 10 years old. And
they got you sick, and now you just live on the toilet for a day.
The lesson learned is never hang out with the youth, never hang out with them. They got to be at least 13. That's like the key. But the bottom line is, look, I feel a lot of closeness with Kevin, and I'm just saying there is an opportunity here to do a little video, PO, between you and I, and you should just be Tim Ferriss. I'm just saying.
I'll shave my head. I've been looking for an excuse to shave my head. Let's do it. I'm pumped. Okay, now we're talking. We got the other video we're trying to get out. Anyway, Bunny's got his hand raised. Bunny, what's going on?
I thought the most telling part of the interview was right in the beginning when he's describing Moonbirds. He uses was, right? He's like, Moonbirds was an NFT project. Like, dude, that lends a lot of legitimacy to Nick Storrs, who said this thing was acquired. When Nick gets vindicated on this one, I'll be the first in line to say I'm sorry.
Oh, let me go on wax right now. Let me just go on wax right now. Every time we hear a rumor like this and Nick breaks it, you just get backlash from basically the Discord mods. Literally, you just get backlash from the Discord mods of said project. And then 90 days goes by, which is a lifetime in Web3. 90 days goes by and the announcement comes out. And it's not like the Discord mods don't then apologize to Nick. They don't have a public apology. But yeah, it's a foregone conclusion that Nick will be vindicated.
Exactly like when the Cool Cats got acquired by Yuga.
They got acquired by someone else. Nick was wrong about the acquirer.
You stick your neck out. You try and, rush forward with information that's relevant to the NFT market. And once in a while, it's a little bit of a mess. But it was, I would say, mostly accurate. So that's what we're going to go with at this point. The people that keep correcting me always are the community managers on the team. The community managers, the founders, they go and post some cryptic tweet where they won't even acknowledge me, where they're just like, Oh, you're just trying to engagement farm.
No, they don't say it like that. They're like, to those who have tried to disparage the, you know, legitimacy of the operation that we've been creating and putting blood, sweat, and tears into for 2 years, you know, please have some respect. And it's just like, you're talking about Nick. Like that is, you are talking about Nick there.
That was like, it feels the same as when I was talking about raising a bunch of money and then going on vacation for a few months. Didn't name any projects. Like, I didn't call out a specific project.
But Spotty Wi-Fi went in and tagged Doodles in all caps.
No, but who was the, who's the Doodles?
Alexis Ohanian.
So Burnt Toast. So Burnt Toast hops in and is like, I've been with my dad who's been sick. Never mind the like showing a picture of what appears to be his own father on his
in the hospital. No, or in the hospital.
Like
in the
he's
hospital.
On his deathbed, though. And he's holding his hand. He's like, it'll be all right, Dad. And little, like, his dad's now, like, at the gym by the time this photo is posted. But he's, like, putting it up there for sympathy points. And Alexis Ohanian comes in. He's like, we stand with you, Burnt Toast.
The funny part about it is that you just, like, weren't even talking. Like, it was just, like, not a tweet directed at them. And then all of a sudden it gets hijacked and Alexis Ohanian's weighing in.
I became the biggest piece of shit as a result of this post. Like, it was like, Nick's a piece of shit for saying that about you, Burnt Toast. And I'm like, bro, why did you even hop into this response? I didn't say anything about Doodles. I don't even think I was talking about Doodles. It was ridiculous.
You literally weren't. Anyway, well, I'm glad we got to discuss Kevin Rose going on the podcast. Nick loves that Kevin Rose is doing therapy. Ketamine. That's, by the way, getting injected with ketamine to go on a trip by your therapist is the most Los Angeles thing I've ever heard. Well, I lived
very popular in New York. You know, I'm a big fan of therapy, P.O.
Yeah.
And I've done group therapy as well. Multiple different ones, and the one of the members of one of my group therapies, he regularly did ketamine.
Lays down and gets injected with horse tranquilizer by a professional.
Pretty much, dude. Yeah.
What a world. I mean, I know that in LA, like I heard the comedian Neil Brennan, co-creator of Chappelle's Show, he like has struggled with depression for a really long time. And he went to Los Angeles, or he lived in Los Angeles, and in Venice Beach, he got ketamine therapy. And he described it as when he came out of it, he said the first thought he had was, how the hell is that FDA approved? Which I feel like I'd also feel like that's a wild to go into a doctor's office and they're just like, all right, you know, lay down and, you know, let's just go ahead and get this IV in you. And then you literally go to like the next dimension, you know, feeling like Requiem for a Dream. And then they're like, oh, how was the therapy session? How was the therapy session? It's like, dude, you just literally gave me heroin. Anyway, look, we got to get to this weather report. I'm glad that we did this. Well, we got a bunny tweet. Bunny said, Kevin Rose doing ketamine is the most bullish announcement for Moonbirds in over a year. Bunny, I almost called Bunny ketamine. Bunny, have you been enjoying the Moonbird saga from a tweet, you know, a shit posting perspective?
Yeah, I love it. I saw this great, there's an account I found called Shit K Rose Says, and they did like this AI Moonbird animation.
That.
Where the bird says that he's taken Moonbirds in a new direction and he's going to start smoking crack in 2024. it's a real gold post, man. It's good.
Can you share that audio, Clemente?
Gave me so much stress. Running Moonbirds gave me so much stress. It drove me to do ketamine. I'd like to announce a new direction for the project. Starting next year, I will be smoking crack.
I mean, it's so silly, but it's still funny. I mean, someone just did AI voice of Kevin Rose and said he's going to do a different drug. Pretty funny. All right, Signal, we got to get this show on the road. Enough smoking crack and ketamine and, you know, injections and therapy. Let's rock and roll with this weather report.
It's the last weather report of the year, guys. I did not think I had ketamine on my bingo card, but look what this year has brought, and I'm looking forward to 2024. So the final one, that market volume's coming in at 23 million, Blur 17, OpenSea almost at 5, and Solana pulling back at 7 million. Onto the market leaders, well, ETH NFTs holding pretty steady. Ordinals dipping slightly, and Fraganas, they're back up actually to over 60%, back up to a 14 SOL floor after yesterday's pullback. Over onto the four big stories. We've already spoken about Kevin, so I'm just going to skip over story number one. We'll go on to story number two. The whales are back in full force as one wallet swept six Fidenzas and one autoclave for 600th ETH. That is spending over $1.4 million and bringing the Fidenza floor back up to 77 ETH, which is the highest it's been since August. On to the third story of the day, it's controversial, but also the highly anticipated Node Monkeys Ordinals collection claim happens today at 1 p.m. Eastern on Magic Eden after 8,000 Ordinals were sold via an auction for 0.03 BCC ETH. The team also cited that an additional 1,000 will just be airdropped to collectors, artists, memers, developers, mods, and the community, basically anyone, which some speculate could bring some additional sales pressure to the collection. And then lastly, it's been a while since we've spoken about this this project, but the winner of the day is a new mover, and that was VFriends Series 2. The collection saw a 50% pump to a 0.12 ETH floor after Gary P tweeted to get your Series 2 and also swept 15 VFriends Series 1, saying that there is a fun winter ahead. VFriends Series 1 still holding at almost a 2 ETH floor, and Series 2 at 0.12. We should really look up Nick's Seahorse, see how that's going. But that is all for the weather report. That is all, and it's back to you folks in the studio.
Fantastic weather report as usual, Signal. And I actually have some ideas of a couple of things that should go into the weather report. I'm excited to talk to you and Nick and Clemente about them. I actually think that Nick may push back on it a little bit, but I think I can sell him on it. It has to do with putting numbers in. And historically, Nick's not been a fan of numbers being audibly read. Nick?
Yeah, I thought an idea could be accents. Like everyone does the weather report in a different accent. Nick leads on Mondays, German, obviously. And then PO with your English one on Tuesday. I'm going to choose South African for Wednesday. And then easy and greeny, you can fight it out over Thursday and Friday.
I like the accents. The thing I was going to say, there was a chart that Clemente, you'd pulled up there when Signal was going through the weather report. Can you pull that up again? Your dashboard that you had on whatever site that is. The what's this?
Dune Analytics.
Yeah, Dune Analytics. There you go. Dude. The NFT market has grown since September by what, 400%?
Let's go.
I mean, that's something that I think is pretty notable in terms of the overall growth. There was another chart I don't know where it was, but yeah, I mean, it does look like we're out of the bear as it applies to NFTs as well, which is something that's not mentioned. So that's a great chart, the daily volume.
Scroll down, Clemente, to that other chart. NFTs just they just mirror crypto, which is the best thing ever. I mean, look at the double top from 2022. That, or actually, psych, that's supposed to be 2021. Never mind, forget everything I was going to say, ladies. Sorry?
I said psych, boom, boom.
Okay, yeah. Forget everything I was going to say, ladies and gentlemen. But one thing I will say is that the other day, I thought about when we had Machi Big Brother on this show. Sure, all of you remember that when Machi came on. And I was like, when was that? Because I remember when Machi was on, I was thinking he's buying so many Bored Apes right now. That's a wild thing to do right now. I was buying Bitcoin at the time, but I wasn't buying like NFTs out the yin yang. And that was in August. And it's just amazing to me how much things can change between August and now. So look, we're going to dive into this in just a sec. Some updates from the Daily Digest. Daily Digest is posted to X platform every morning. It's pinned up top during the show on the Twitter spaces. It's emailed to anyone that subscribes at thenifty.com. So subscribe at thenifty.com. For a story, $180 million worth of Solana was sent to Coinbase and it's expected to be sold. Is this priced in, Easy?
Can't really price these things in, to be honest. Like, but
what? Yeah. What? This is the most ridiculous thing. Are they going to liquidate it on Coinbase?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they just like dump it, to be honest. Like, that's to me, like, if you just see a God candle for that, then buy the dip. To me personally, I'm sitting here, I'm like, all these alt charts look like a mean cup and handle on the daily, which is what I've been looking at. Like, very much so. So, I've been asking for a 30 to 40% retracement, and I think we get it. Like, as crazy as that sounds, I think we get it, which would put SOL at like 70. It put AVAX down to like 26, which all these charts look the exact same. They all have this mean bottomed out dip. And I think we're going to see a pullback to some of these previous retests of the breakout before we run much higher. So I included the four that I'm like very much so interested in, which is AVAX, Solana, FTM, and NEAR. FTM is the one I'm like most speculative on.
Why NEAR versus Say? Say protocol
well, is Say, baby.
All the action
so
right
Say
now.
Is getting a ton of action because Cosmos is getting a ton of action. So the modular aspects of Cosmos are really interesting. But I have Celestia bags, which I think run much harder than Say. So that's where my exposure on Cosmos is versus me looking at something else like an FTM, which has been really quiet and is sitting close to this price point. So like if you want to go out to the year on Say, which is more interesting to me, because of this, like it's still relatively new. Is the big thing, which is why I lean more on Celestia versus Say, where Say has this interest. Celestia since kind of quieted down after it got this like mean run through November where it went from 50 cents to $10. And now obviously you have Beanie here saying it's programmed to a dollar. If it's programmed to a dollar, that's only a 2x. Like,
yeah,
I don't,
and then crypto
I don't get out of bed
2x ain't
2x
shit
anymore, dude. Like, what is that, a pump for ants? Like, that's why I'm looking at NEAR at fucking $3 with an all time high of 20. AVAX at 160, currently
near.
Sitting at 40. That's why I'm like looking at some of these things. FTM getting to $3 sitting at 40 cents. Like those are the plays that I'm more interested in that have a development ecosystem that is still scaling and still seeing interest. And that's what led to me looking at those charts. Whereas when I look at Cosmos, there's a lot of options you can pick. And if any of them run, they're all going to run, which is why I'm not as interested in Say.
Say less. We're going to talk to Greenie, not Beanie, about all this stuff.
I saw
in just
Greenie
a
nodding there too, so I know I'm on the right page. I think we may be in some agreement on this.
I can't wait to get to Greenie in literally just a minute. Just give me 1 second, Greenie. But real quick, Beanie saying he's all in on Bitcoin and Say is the funniest thing I've ever heard. Isn't this guy an ETH maxi? Is this the real Beanie? Beanie, I know you're listening to the show right now. Can you come on the show, just audio? And
I DM'd him. He didn't respond to that, but he's plenty of replies to tweets. This guy is no. I think you may be right. May not be him anymore. Maybe
sold the account. Yeah,
I've been 100%. Saying it for months. I've been okay. saying it for months.
Beanie, you used to come 100%. On the show.
Y'all. Okay, 100% is a bold statement.
No, 2020, look, if we had ketamine in 2023, I'm telling you, Beanie sold, and 2024, we'll find out.
Someone would want that account to be able to pump crypto tokens. People love pumping crypto tokens, so there you go. Beanie, audio only, come on the show. We're just going to talk shop about the market. That's it. Like, even if the audience was like, ask them about Look Labs, we're not going to ask you about Look Labs. Just come on the show and we're going to talk about the market. Bunny has his hand raised. Bunny, what's going on?
The Beanie sold his account theory is a hard. I know somebody who has his phone number. It's 100% still Beanie. This is like the Art Chick is a guy conspiracy theory, right? Like, there's no actual proof. Just like, People in crypto love making random stuff up.
Okay. Okay, Bunny.
Pio loves doing that.
Okay.
He looked at some hands and called it man hands and just offended women out across the world because he's insensitive about the shape of women's hands. It's what makes women feel insecure. You're the problem, Pio.
No, we're not doing this right now, and I totally disagree with Bunny. Real quick, NFT Statistics reported that 20,000 ETH was deposited into Blur on Wednesday. This is basically the opposite of the Coinbase $180 million SOL story. So, you know, NFTs are going to cook. I'm going to reckon that Greenie can weigh in on this. 20,000 ETH is just going to plow directly into Pudgy Penguins. That's what I reckon on Blur. Anyway, last story, Nick's Bored Ape is being defaulted on a loan. Well, how do you like that, Nick?
I mean, that ape went through a bunch of abuse after I sold it, basically. And it makes sense. It's because I'm an abusive father of my NFTs, you know? And like I tweeted out, I think NFT collectors also deserve to be abused just because that's what they want. Like, that's literally what they're looking for. They're used to it at home. And they so the same thing goes for their NFTs. I don't know. I was
he's responding to the tweets on the show real quick, dude.
I was like, do I apply to this? Not apply. Do I buy this? And the answer is no. That's a lot of money.
Well, anyway, Beanie's was replying, come on the show, audio only, Beanie. We'll only talk about the market. I don't care if commenters are like, you know, ask them about Wolfgang. Like, I'm good. I don't care. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we got the main event. We got guest panelist extraordinaire, the Greenster, Greenie, reporting live from Australia. We're doxing his location. What's going on, amigo? Welcome to the show.
Greenie. Oh, man, it's pretty late here, P.O. What's up? What's up, Bunny? How are you, mate? Yeah, guys, it's pretty late here. I degenning at what 12:30 a.m. in the morning. So love to be here. It's 40 degrees Celsius as well, so it's heating up at the moment. But pleasure to be on the show,
dude. Did you take your name from Beanie? Like, were you inspired by him when you ended up when you came up with this name?
Nah, homie, my fiance, bro. It's just my last name as a nickname, and she grills me all the time for it, and said I could have been a bit more creative with that side of the things and that side of the branding. But it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Is what it is. You know what they're saying? It is what it is.
So Greenie, for people that don't know, you are a TA specialist extraordinaire. You just launched your YouTube channel, which I'm pumped about. I'm pretty disappointed by your camera setup and microphone setup. We got to work on that for sure now that you're destined to be literally become a big time crypto YouTuber. And I'm not saying that tongue in cheek. I mean, literally. So we're going to have to talk to you about getting a better setup down there, down under, when it comes. Sorry. I'm sorry.
PO that was just insulting. What is going on here? PO's thrown out.
He sounded like the British people who got sent to Australia.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm sorry about that. Anyway, Greenie, so check it out. So ETH broke out, you know, pump for ants, but broke out. And it's showing strength against Bitcoin. We're coming up on an expected Bitcoin ETF approval. Solana has just recovered and still actually has some room to recover from its BS sell-off from the FTX debacle. You're seeing AVAX wake up. You're seeing the Say Boys and the Swee Boys start to get out of bed, and you're seeing us go near the moon. So what's the story with Ethereum right now from a TA perspective? What are you looking at?
Yeah, so like exactly what you said, PO, I've been looking at that ETH versus BTC chart, and it is bouncing at that 0.52% mark, which is very bullish for me. It just needs to break that high at about the 5.8% mark for me to probably be more bullish on ETH compared to Bitcoin. Again, I'm in the same sort of situation as Easy. I've been heavy AVAX and heavy Solana for a long time because the upside was just way better in those tokens. And then more recently, as liquidity is sort of flowing into other L1s and L2s, I've started to dabble a little bit. I bought a couple bags, just small bags of like Say and Sui and Nia. I haven't picked up Phantom, so I will look into that as well, Easy. But yeah, there's a few tokens I am looking at, other altcoins that haven't ran as hard as obviously Solana and AVAX that I am looking at the moment.
Okay. And so I guess if you had to buy Ethereum or Solana here and hold it for 6 months, which one would you pick?
Oh, good call, PO. I'm definitely still going to go Solana. I think if you look at the chart, like even though, yeah, so if I have a look at the pullback now, so Solana versus ETH, it's a good chart to check out that I look pretty much every day at. And Solana hit its all-time high against ETH just last week, and obviously a pullback has nearly gone to a Fib retracement level. So I'd probably still hold Solana. And again, because of the all-time high, the return of investment is going to be still higher in Solana. You've got, like, again, meme coins and NFTs. People are probably trading more actively on Solana. So I think it's probably still got more upside, again, compared to Ethereum at this stage.
Okay, and real quick, and I want to let Easy, Nick, and Sig ask questions too, but check it out. So yesterday, I listened to a podcast that happened this week between Anthony Pompliano, one of the bigger crypto podcasters, and a gentleman named Joe McCann. Clemente knows Joe McCann. He's actually been on the Bitcoin show that I host 2 times. I invited him on this show. I suspect he does not remember who I am, and he said no because this show is too early because he's on the West Coast, but he is the co-founder of the fund Asymmetric, and he's an electric guest. I hope we can get him on the show again. He's a Solana gigabull, and he shared his theory that there's no shot that Ethereum L1 outperforms the L2s built on Ethereum. He also talked about how he thinks Solana as an L1, like the fact that Solana is an L1, he thinks it's going to be the Ethereum of this cycle, meaning that Solana will be kind of the big winner this time around. He also talked about a lot of the different action that we see. I recommend, you know, ladies and gentlemen, that you listen to this episode between Joe McCann and Anthony Pompliano. But he's very, very interested in things like SWE and SEI. He's an investor in those. What do you make, like, what coins do you think are the most interesting outside of the top 10, top 15?
So I've been a big, I know I hit up your DMs, PO, actually a few months ago about Casper. And that was one that I had packed my bags quite a while ago because it was just a nice competitor to Bitcoin, had faster transactions and that sort of thing. So that's definitely one I've had an interest in. Very similar to Easy again around the gaming narrative. Like last cycle, I was trading a lot of gaming tokens. It was obviously a lot more hype last cycle. And now we're starting to see a lot more interest in the market and actual utility. Like obviously you guys are partnered with Shrapnel. And those sorts of things. So it's good to see some gaming actually come to fruition. So, and the same with like what Kix has been saying recently about Ronin and those sort of tokens. I think that's what I'm kind of looking at. Like as liquidity, I think you still want to hold major bags in Solana, like and AVAX, don't get me wrong. I think they still have a lot of upside, but you do like to think about maybe some other tokens that are starting to trickle down and liquidity moves into other systems. And like you say, like I do have a little bit of Arbitrum because it has been outperforming Ethereum as well. And because, again, there's just people using it. You go onto Dexcrin, I think there's like $24 million worth of, or billion or something, some ridiculous stat about how many people are using Arbitrum every day. So like you want to be into like that. And then obviously my gaming narrative is probably the other one that I have exposure to the most.
I think it's 30 billion people on Arbitrum right now.
Billion.
Yeah, 30 billion people.
What?
It's fascinating. I was shocked to hear that as well.
Okay. Anyway, so Greeny, one more question for me, and then I'll throw to Easy because I'm sure he has some juice that he wants to talk to you about. So part of that Joe McCann interview was he was talking basically he's got a theory of dog tokens to a trillion, like the combined market cap of dog coins hitting $1 trillion is basically programmed in Joe McCann's mind, which is hilarious. What do you make of Dogecoin? How do you feel about Dogecoin? I have been having an internal struggle about my Dogecoin position because last cycle, I sold all my Dogecoin literally within 60 days of the 200x pump. And I've been feeling the inclination to do it again. And I just don't want to go and do it two times in a row, two cycles in a row. What do you make of Dogecoin and the other dog tokens? I know that you did a lot of tweets about dog with hat.
Yeah, so Dogecoin especially, like I think you want to place your bets there. Like I've got a smaller bag in Doge just purely because of the normie factor. Like I know you guys have spoken about it quite a bit before. I know my mates, if I talk to them about crypto, it's generally Bitcoin, Ethereum, and then Dogecoin. So you want to have that exposure. The second narrative I like with Dogecoin is the implementation of it to X as payments. I think whether that happens in the near term or whether that's a longer term prospect, I think that's, again, you want to hedge your bets that way. So having some exposure to Dogecoin in that capacity, because if it does get implemented to X and people get paid in Doge, then that's going to absolutely send it. So they're the two things. And then obviously the last one, TA, obviously you guys know I'm a big TA man. And the Dogecoin and similar to Pepe, they both kind of broke out recently. And I think that, again, like you want to make sure that you have exposure to tokens that are breaking out higher after a long retracement. Outside them, obviously, Bonk has actually bounced. I was looking at that just yesterday. Bonk's bounced back up to 1.6 bill. So that's one you want to look at. Exposure to the utility side of the Bonk bot as well is really cool. And obviously, the Saga phone narrative that we've seen over the past couple of weeks has also seen Bonk sort of run up to that $3.2 billion range. So there's still plenty of upside there. In terms of other bags, I don't have any Shiba. I think my bets in terms of meme coins are definitely those three that I just spoke about. I swing traded that from 200K to 400K and then it ran to 290 million. So I should have just held it and I would have made 1,000X, but that's okay.
Damn, that's a tough one. Signal's got a question for you, Greeny.
Yeah, Greeny, I wanted to ask, like, do you remember earlier in the year when, it was early this year when DGods used to say bridge over to Polygon. I remember Polygon saying that one of the reasons they wanted to do it was because they wanted to have an NFT culture and they thought, by having, you know, one of the top projects in the space on their chain, more projects want to come. And then you have this like culture that proliferates around NFTs. That obviously didn't work. And now we've got AVAX has just come out and said that they will spend $100 million on doing meme coins on Avalanche. Do you think this is going to work in a meme coin context, that they can have this culture just because they're going to drop this $100 million sort of grant into the space?
I think yes. Like, if you've been on Avalanche meme coins already, there's definitely exposure there. Like, Cock Eno ran up to several hundred, 200 million or something from memory, if I just pull up the chart now. So ran up to, yeah, ran up quite a lot. It's bouncing, actually. It had a nice retracement. It's bouncing down. So there's definitely liquidity there. As long as the, obviously with the inscriptions the other day, that was leading to fees and gas on AVAX being quite high. I do think that there is still plenty of money on AVAX. And even I think someone in my Discord group just yesterday said that there was a meme coin dropped on Beam actually as well, which is obviously on the Avalanche blockchain. So yeah, I definitely think there's a good potential sig for that to happen.
Love to see it. Also love, I think the audience is eating up any kind of meme coin discussion. Easy, do you have a question for Greeny?
Yeah, I mean, where do you mainly find like which meme coins you want to do like a longer term swing on? Like, that's a big thing. Like, I've watched your videos, some great content as well. That's probably the hardest part for most people is like, what is just buying into like a pre-LP burn and just hoping for a 2x versus what is looking at a chart over an hour long, 2 hours long and seeing a potential breakout?
I think it's a balance of a lot of things. And like you said, I speak about that in my videos on YouTube. It's obviously chart setup, it's sentiment. So whether the contract's actually safe or not, that's a big indicator for me early. And then whether it has good sentiment on Twitter, like a dog with hat is a great meme. Just like, I know Nick was a big fan of that one, obviously ran up a bit on that. And so it's like, if it has good sentiment, it has a good chart, and then it has good community around it, then that's where you can kind of make some insane returns in the meme coin space for sure.
Do you use any of these bots? I know people in our Discord use the I forget the name of the bot that's on Telegram. Bonk bot. I installed it. I connected a wallet. I think I sent like one soul or something like that, and was like, okay, I'll do this. I don't even understand how the damn bot works. Like, it's very confusing. I'm not quite sure what the hell I'm doing there and what the point of it is. Like, what's the purpose of using that versus like a deck screener sort of thing?
I'm gonna plug my YouTube channel here, Nick, and say you should watch my tutorial on BonkBot, mate. But no, so essentially it just makes your ease of transaction so much easier. It's been a bit slow, but BonkBot have reached out over Twitter to on their Twitter and posted that they are looking to fix that and make it better in time. So that's exciting. But yeah, it just makes it more seamless. For me, obviously getting in early to certain meme coin plays, with BonkBot, you can access the token, so the contract address nice and early, whereas sometimes the liquidity pool on like BirdEye or Radium is lagging. So you kind of miss out on those early gains until the token's already at like 50K or 100K. So you definitely want to be using BonkBot. There's some other bots out there, but obviously Solana's seen a lot of volume. And if you go to Dex Screener, Solana still dominates the top 10 coins with volume every single day. So BonkBot's the one I've been using for Solana meme coins.
Appreciate the detail. I want to switch gears to NFTs real quick, ladies and gentlemen. I want to remind everyone that this show is in partnership with Unsellable NFTs. If you want to offset some gains by liquidating the NFTs that no one else will buy off of you, which if you're listening, I know this is you. I know you have some of these. We all do. Unsellable is a platform that pays you one penny for NFTs that you are unable to sell on other marketplaces because of no outstanding offers or liquidity. They will buy those worthless NFTs off of you when no one else will, to help you maximize your tax loss harvesting before the end of the year. It's all about making sure your taxes are optimized, ladies and gentlemen. So if you are interested in tax loss harvesting and saving money on your taxes, go to thenifty.com/unsellable to learn more. I'm telling you, this is probably a product that you need if you are listening to the show right now. Thenifty.com, thenifty.com/unsellable to learn more. Do it by December 31st, by the day after tomorrow, so it counts for this tax year. Anyway, Greeny, you tweeted about buying Klaenosaur's Saga, okay? I have some experience with that collection. I'm wondering why that one, instead of the proper Klaenosaur's collection. The reason I asked the question is because I feel like the liquidity on Saga is not as strong as the liquidity on the main collection. I'm really big on liquidity when it comes.
Yeah. Why are you flooding my bags?
I'm really big on liquidity when it comes to NFTs. Like, I'm huge on that. You know what I mean? Unless you're buying like Fidenza or something like that. And so the lower supply and lower liquidity on Saga, and the fact that fewer people know about the Saga collection versus Klaenosaurs, is what would give me pause on buying that over the primary collection. I'm curious why Klaenosaurs Saga over Klaenosaurs.
So I already have a Klaenosaurus. I picked that up probably about a month or two ago. So I wanted, again, a little bit more exposure to the ecosystem of Klaenos, because obviously you guys interviewed them and it sounded pretty dope about what they're going to be doing utility-wise and that side of things moving into the next year or two. So then I already had that Klaeno and I thought, okay, looking at a turnover, again, like same as UPO, I love liquidity. I need volume there for me to be kind of keen. And again, it was a long to medium sort of term play. And so that's why I hedged again by owning a Saga. And then that way, if I wanted to sell one or the other, I can sort of ease of access, get in or out of one or the other, depending on which one has outperformed the other one. So that's the main reason why I bought the Saga.
Okay, fair enough. And then you said you bought a Bitcoin Frog.
Yeah. So I detailed this in my Discord today earlier. I was chatting to a few people. Again, NFTs have sort of, the floors have gone down on a lot of premier collections. Obviously, I own a Mad Lad already. And then I decided to look elsewhere. I thought about buying another Mad Lad to dip my toes in twice. But then I thought, okay, considering my portfolio, I'm very already kind of heavy exposed to Sol. So I was thinking about maybe dabbling into the Pudgy ecosystem on Ethereum to have exposure there. But then I thought probably the upside of Ordinals, listening to John Carlo's episode yesterday, was really insightful as well, because Ordinals and BTC has seen a lot of upside this year and BRC20s are still running hot every single day. So I think I did a bit of research. Bitcoin Frogs, they were already down. They were down to 0.26 BTC and I thought, okay, that screams value. So that's already nearly a 2x, just shy of a 2x to its all-time high. So there was the chart. The listings were down at 6%, 45% ownership. So again, the chart had a pullback of around that 30 to 40%. And so I thought, okay, probably a good return of investment sort of play here. But then again, I didn't have much Bitcoin exposure. So I wanted to have some Bitcoin / ordinal exposure as well.
Well, it's very interesting. And I'll throw it to Nick in just a second. Our co-founder Kix has a Bitcoin Frog. It's expensive for me, amigo. Just saying.
I don't think he has a Bitcoin Frog. I think he has the...
not a Bitcoin Frog. He has the Bitcoin Toads. Which are sub 1K inscription.
Yeah.
Oh. Regardless, Bitcoin Frog is expensive for me, dude. 0.27 Bitcoins for a Bitcoin Frog. Damn. That's tough for me. Well, that's a tough one.
Well, Pia, your Mad Lad is actually more expensive than a Bitcoin Frog at the moment.
Yeah, I like the Mad Lad. I'm a big Mad Lad guy. I actually think I'm going to increase Mad Lad's exposure in a clever way, thanks to Easy and our friend in Miami. Going to get real clever with it. Not cute, but clever. Nick, you had a question for Greeny?
Yeah, well, a couple of things. First of all, what's your goal here with all of the movement that you're having around in the market? Like, what's your, how big of a bag are you moving around? Like, you have like $10,000, $50,000, $100,000 that you're trading with. And what are your goals? And yeah, like, what are you aiming for?
I won't disclose personal details, but I definitely take calculated risks. So again, I'm actually probably going to do a YouTube video on this, because a lot of people ask me.
Thousand that you're trading?
Yeah, I am. But majority of that is locked up in spot portfolio. Obviously, mainly in Solana and AVAX and gaming tokens at the moment. And so I never want to have too much exposure locked up in an NFT play or a couple of NFT plays. So then that way your percentage of allocation into something like that, which like my Mad Lad is one of those things, but then a Bitcoin Frog, then that way you sort of have exposure to those, but they're sort of a longer term horizon play compared to your spot bag, which is then again, a medium to longer term play. And then you have like 20% of your liquidity that's on the meme coins or on the NFT swing trades, if that type of stuff, to accumulate more Solana or to accumulate more ETH and that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have over $100,000 invested here. You, as you said, that with a percentage of it towards medium to long term, which you're not really moving around in, you have the short term stuff that you're trading. And so that's where most of the excitement, I guess, is going on. And your target with that is what? Like 10x, 50x, 100x? What are you aiming for?
I think minimum 5x, obviously, if I hold the majority just in a spot bag. But then obviously, if I can actively trade, and that's leverage too. Like, we do a bit of leverage trading as well in my group. I think I'm aiming for upwards of 500k to a mil if I can. Like, and that would be amazing. And I've come from, like, this is my 8th year in crypto. So it's a very similar story to Easy. Like, I've round tripped so many bags in the past. So I think I'm just taking more calculated risks now. And I know that taking profit early is probably going to be my strategy, but then that way I've locked in profit. So yeah.
Okay. I've got a follow-up question on that. So I just wonder how is it, Kix was playing a game yesterday where he asked what percentage of people have a sell target. There was no answer to the game if you're listening to the show, but I'm interested because you sound like a very disciplined trader. How do you think about your sell targets and your exits out of your medium to long-term bags as we go into 2024, 2025, where there is sort of an expected bull run?
Yeah, so I think we're front running this cycle. Like, if you look at accumulation zones of the previous last two cycles, we're definitely ahead of time. So then that kind of leads me, unless this is a super cycle, that leads me into believing that we probably front run the end of the cycle. If you look at previous days in terms of from essentially the bottom of the cycle to the peak, it's around that 1,000 day mark, which paints a picture for August, September 2025. As the top of the bull market. For me, I think that's a bit too late. I just don't see us going that long. Like, we're already in a bull market right now, and that's still a year and a half away if we were to go to those states. So for me, I then base my decisions probably more around price action. I'm probably going to take some liquidity off the table once we start hitting all-time highs. I think that's just a smart choice. And then slowly scale out as we hit more X's or more levels across several different players. And then obviously, with your longer term bags, I might leave 10% in to really chase that real high peak if we do see that in 2025 or late 2024.
The Bitcoin ETF is a huge, huge, huge deal, and that's why I believe the price of all these assets has run in Q4 the way that it has. Do you think there's any possibility that we hit a new all time high ahead of the Bitcoin halving, which would be a first?
I don't see why not. Hey, like, I really do think if liquidity keeps coming in and we do pump a little bit more, like, I'm not sure, I haven't got the chart up at the moment, but how high is it away from all-time highs? Like 50%, 60% or something like
more,
that?
Less than 50%. I mean, we're at what, 42, 43K and the all-time high is 68K, 69K.
Yeah, no, so I definitely think you could potentially see it. Like, we've still got, what, the halving's about March, mid-March, I think, from memory. So
later, it's in May. It's in April or May.
Oh, is it? Is it that late? Well, then even more so. Yeah, even more so, I think we could front run it for sure.
That's really interesting. That's right now, in my opinion, the most interesting thing. How hard of a hit do you think prices take if they push back the ETF approval, if it doesn't happen in January?
50%.
Boosh. Kadoosh goes the mark.
40 to 50%. Yeah.
Bam! They took the elbow, boom, right on the face.
Sorry, Greeny, but do you think that this run is being driven more by the ETF narrative of more that there's going to be rate cuts going into next year? Therefore, we are more on a risk on environment.
I think a combination of both, Sig. I think definitely the ETF news is front running quite a lot of price action. I do think the rate cuts definitely comes into it for a lot of people. Interestingly, we were having this chat in my Discord just yesterday. Traditionally, with rate cuts, the stock market actually goes down, and that's happened in history for, I'm not sure, like 30 years, 20 years. So it'd be very interesting to see how crypto actually plays when rates are cut next year. And when you consider that, I think what sort of determines my mind around that is that rate cuts might not impact crypto, but they still might impact the stock market. Obviously, the S&P is nearly at an all-time high from memory. So it's really interesting times, and I think it's not a bad idea to still have money mainly in crypto at the moment.
Well, our boy Ram Alawalia of Lumina Research, who's been on the show before, who I think is one of the best analysts on Twitter that actually openly tweets his thoughts, had a tweet, Clemente, if you could try to find it, where he talks about how historically after rate cuts, the stock market does go down. It's a wild time. Clemente is just so good. So good at finding this stuff. Clemente, can we zoom in on this, baby? Let's go. Zoom in on Rom's tweet. What do we got? I'm not going to be able to see. I'm on the little laptop screen. I don't have the 32-inch ultra-wide bad boy right now, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe if someone else can kind of lead. I can't even read this right now. It's so small.
It says Fed and rate. Pull it back up. It does. Clemente, pull it back up. Wow, you pulled that up so quick, Clemente. You a big boy. You a big boy. Wow, great job there, dude. Just great job. Fed and rate cuts. Hard to see how the Fed cuts rates in Q1 with this data. CME futures markets are pricing in 73% chance of rate cuts as of yesterday, down from 80% last week. I got to agree with this one. I mean, I like to do a hard pivot seems extreme for me. I know that the circles that Pio hangs out with, the absolute crazy people.
What are you talking about? No, who is crazy that I hang out with?
All the Bitcoin people that are like literally like psychotic. Like they also get together and they hang out together naked, by the way, as well, and trade thoughts with each other. But the nudity is a key part of a lot of the information that they trade. But I want to pull that back up there, Clemente. There's some charts as well that were on the screen that were really relevant. Ignore the fact that Pio hangs out naked with a bunch of psychos. This chart here, so there's all that it's shown is, and Clemente is not doing a good job of zooming, but it's showing core services excluding. We would look for upward risks to rents in Q4 this year based on leading home prices. City Research, this is a bunch of stuff. I will say he dives into the research on a lot of these different things. And see, these people, the problem that they have going on is they're not hanging out together naked when they put together these reports. They're dressed in suits. And that's something that adds a layer of professionalism to them. What they're showing is that a lot of things are running hot. That's the bottom line. And that's the summary of these charts. Things are running hot. Why are you going to cut rates right away? And that is kind of in something that I have an agreement with.
There's higher also, for longer, right? Higher for longer, as Jerome Powell says.
There's also the conversation around recession has not completely eliminated. I feel like most people think that a quote soft landing has been pulled off at this point in time. But you know, I'm still waiting to see. That said, there is expectation of rate cuts at some point. I think to Rom's point, the main summary here is the market may really be front running this news, and we may be in for a little bit of a rude awakening as it applies to rate cuts and other things associated with that. Thanks for pulling that up, Clemente. I think that's the main synopsis. I kind of agree with this. We have run hot on a lot of fronts, including crypto, where we actually haven't seen a lot of new money enter this space from new people. There was something unrelated that I thought was that's really fascinating. We have mentioned it. We've been talking Solana on this show a lot. It is pretty insane what's been accomplished by Solana with on this run, is that it has a shot at replacing ETH, basically. Yep. I'm not saying that it's going to, but it has in terms of rate of adoption, trends when it comes to increase in money being locked up in DeFi. There's just been insane growth, and it's been growing faster than ETH at this point in time. And it's just shown that there is room in this market to be replaced. And with Vitalik coming out with his piece yesterday that all the ETH maxis were just like, I mean, I don't want to keep talking about sexual things, but basically they could not take enough of, you know, Vitalik's, you know what I'm saying?
Penis.
Basically. And they were just like all over it yesterday. I mean, my God, like I've never seen a bunch of grown men just sexually attracted to a more techno-centric person in my life. And what his whole thesis was, Solana's a good idea. You know, I think that was my takeaway from his post. He was saying, hey, L2 for a lot of people is a bunch of bullshit, basically.
Yes.
Pointing out kind of blur. And I think was how he was, what he did not name names. But the other thing that he was saying is that we should reduce the number of nodes that need to validate a blockchain. So, or sorry, a block. And so reduce it by 80%. So because a lot of the places are talking about transaction finality and costs that are happening on all these L1s. And so the whole, all of the articles, the whole summary of that article is like, huh, maybe the L2 thesis was dumb. Like that's basically what he's saying. And everyone else is saying, like that all the growth is in the L2s. All the growth is in Solana. Like that's where all the growth is. And then yeah, some of these other spaces, I saw a journey, Elio Trades posted a video yesterday where he essentially said something similar, where he was saying all the VCs are going to be investing in other layer ones at this point, you know, because they're saying if Solana has the ability to capture mind share and to capture market share at this point in time, Ethereum has not won. And that's the thing that I think is pretty crazy at the at this moment, is that Ethereum is in a, like, as far as I'm concerned, kind of a weird place, because there's all this technical complexity associated with ETH versus like all these other layer ones, which have a ton of potential. So I don't know. We'll see. And I don't know. I'm curious what other people's thoughts are on the.
Well, I have a question for Nick. Is Ethereum just wicked academic and Solana is practical? From a technical perspective, since you're an engineer?
All blockchain shit is academic, dude. Like
but some are more practical than others.
The coding on any blockchain is tough. Like it's not the easiest thing to code on, to be completely honest.
We know that's your position.
And
didn't Anatoly say coding on Solana is like eating glass?
Yeah, I mean it kind of sucks.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, so from a tech perspective, I don't think that's the lens it should be looked at.
Well, yeah. Nick, I mean, if you had to code in the late 80s with COBOL, would you like that?
No, I actually do want to say a signal. I do think that that's what people should look at. What we want to look at is user adoption, and we want to look at developer adoption. User adoption comes after developer adoption. You need a reduction of friction as it applies to, quote, development platforms. And unsurprisingly, JavaScript has become one of the, it is like basically the most popular programming language at this point in time. And the reason is because it's the most accessible. So if you're able to develop something where developers are able to go build something easily, then you have a much better environment, and it enables like if you can reduce the time from concept to production, then that ends up being then that's like the main goal. Someone says nobody would be saying this if ETH price would be wrong. L Styles, okay. I just want L Styles to know, ETH can be at $20,000. I'm still calling the user experience shitty. it doesn't matter.
But Nick, then I think something like Near Protocol, where developers can actually code in JavaScript, would essentially make the case for that being a protocol that should capture attention. But that isn't necessarily always the case. That just because a protocol has a language that has been widely adopted, we're going to see everybody move over there all of a sudden, because Solana doesn't have that, and yet it has managed to get the community that it does.
All these people have been able to get communities because of values and other things that pre-exist, like the crypto space, including Bitcoin. I think it was initiated by values, essentially, and Vitalik reiterated those in his post yesterday, was the actual values that I think a lot of people share within the overall crypto space. But regardless, you still need to make it easier for people to end up coding. And until we get to a place where it's as easy as it was to build an iPhone app, as easy as it is to build a web app, then the crypto space and the Web3 space, whatever the hell you want to call it, has a long way to go when it comes to adoption. Easy. What were you going to say?
I think the marketing aspect's a big piece of it too. Like, that's a large part of it. Like, Solana has a diehard, strong community of people that really do the marketing for the foundation without the need of it. And like something like a Near, which just doesn't have this bolstering ecosystem. And I think part of that is like the NFT boom that happened. Despite Solana back in 2021 being called like hamburger gains at times, there were still assets selling for $50,000-$60,000 for collections, which drew interest to the chain. And of course, the chain running from $3 to $260 in the FTX narrative gave it a lot of life and gave it a lot of people that were involved. So like the development cycle of something like a Near, which I'm inherently interested in, strong TPS and more from a pure technical standpoint is really interesting, but you're going to need wins to get people excited about it to talk about it, in my opinion.
So basically the entire crypto space is a bunch of bullshit. I just want to say this, like, for the vast majority. On a practical, Pio's out here nodding his head because him and his naked buddies who get together.
Well, you're talking about crypto. You're not talking about Bitcoin. So it's not even relevant to me and my naked friends, wherever we're hanging out in your fantasy. Go ahead.
Probably in the forest or something in a hot tent, basically.
Doing bushcraft. We're living off the land and making little wooden structures in the woods.
Maybe with dongs hanging out. I don't know. But the thing that
now
I was,
it sounds like a Beeple painting.
So that's what was the picture in my mind, to be clear. Like, it was like a Beeple picture was what I was imagining. The thing I was going to say is all I'm saying, there, everyone's been talking about the potential of crypto for a long time. The average person still can't use it and has no idea what the fuck we're talking about. And that is because it's hard to develop on. And because it's hard to develop on, it's not easy for people to build products that are accessible to consumers. And because there aren't products that are accessible to consumers, means that they can't fucking use the things. And so it's not going to reach widespread adoption until that's possible. And the only thing that is accessible right now is Coinbase, that they can go and download and speculate on prices. And everyone says, wow, I don't get why speculation is such a big part of this space. It's because it's the only thing you can do. For the most part, in this space, it's the only thing you can do.
So, Nick, you bring up Coinbase. What are your thoughts on Robinhood?
It's very funny. Don't even answer. Real quick, one thing Joe McCann touched on in his interview with Pomp, which Nick just touched on, is Joe McCann is insanely interested to see the development of mobile user interface for crypto, which he brought up Frentech. And he was like, I don't want to talk shit about the devs of Frentech, and you know, the platform had its issues, but it was a mobile app, and that's pretty interesting.
I want to apologize to Greeny.
Don't apologize to Greeny. Greeny, you're having a good time, right? You're having a good time.
Yeah, boys, you keep ranting on about your bullshit. That's fine. I don't really care.
Greeny is literally the example of the type of people that can exist in this space, because all they want to do is speculate on the bullshit, which Near Protocol and all these other places are spouting, which is a bunch of nonsense, because nobody in their right mind is going to be using most of this stuff. We're still like, this is like pre-TCP/IP when it comes to the internet.
You're on point there.
But with prices, though. The internet couldn't exist, by the way, until TCP/IP existed. But the main point is, we're still in the lab. We're basically a bunch of scientists exchanging information on our university computers at this point in time when it applies to the internet. What's weird, though, is how slow this has been in terms of product evolution. That it's taken Vitalik this number of years to get to the point to realize that, oh, we should probably make products that are accessible to people. What the fuck are we talking about, people? We call this guy a genius and he couldn't figure out that you need to make his fucking mobile app. He is a mad scientist. The guy is a PhD level brain. And he's the theoretical physicist in a world of where we need actual practical physicists here.
All right. Well, there's some truth to some of the stuff that you said.
It's fully true.
Okay.
It's actually 100% spot on, PO, and you can't even disagree with it. There's nothing. Try and point a flaw. Wrong.
I'm not going to do it now because we have a nice 2 years of future shows during a bull period to talk about this. Greeny, any closing thoughts on what areas of the market are the most interesting? Are you meme coin first? And, you know, I'm also interested in like your the way you handle NFTs and where else you think is interesting within the NFT space. Let's talk about that before we close.
So like I said earlier, I think I want to have exposure to your top Solana NFTs, and you obviously I picked up a Bitcoin Frog today, so then I've got that ordinal exposure. I think NFTs are probably the reason I picked up those higher sort of priced ones is because they're probably going to be a longer play in my opinion, and I think they're something that you might look to lock in profits maybe mid-year. I traded little pudgies up to an ETH, like we swing traded them from about 0.4 up to an ETH. I would love to maybe cop another one or three of them just leading into the bull market, PO, because like you guys have spoken about before, I do think they're probably the ETH narrative this cycle in terms of NFTs. But I just don't think we see a lot of liquidity. Like obviously the charts are showing that there's a steady increase, but until we see like absolute degen players minting that people are making insane returns, like from 0 to 0.5 ETH, for example, or Solana to several Solana. I just don't think that happens just yet. I think people are still focusing heavy on altcoins at the moment. I think people are still heavy focused on the ETF news because a lot of people may be on the sidelines waiting for either a dip or on the sidelines waiting for that confirmation. And I think that's where it is kind of driven by that narrative of the ETF approval. And I think Easy's right. I think we'd need to have at least one more pullback before we move up into higher ranges again. And that's a healthy market, right? You need to have, like we've been on an insane tear since October. So I think it's time for us to have a little bit of a healthy retrace. And then meme coins, yeah, look, I trade meme coins like most weeks. At the moment, I've kind of laid off a little bit. There's less liquidity there at the moment. A lot of things die quite quickly if you don't get in early. But at the end of the day, I trade meme coins and stuff to accumulate more Solana, accumulate more AVAX, accumulate more ETH.
That's a dangerous game, right? You're really taking a lot of risk there. If you have the legs to do it, if you have the kind of wit to be able to play in that area, you can accumulate more of the underlying asset like you're talking about. So we talked about Pudgy Penguins. You mentioned Mad Lads. We talked about Clanosaurs. Any other real, like, what do you think of Kanpai Pandas?
That's an interesting play. Yeah, I have been thinking about that. And you guys obviously had Ice Bags on recently on your show as well. And I do like that play as an alternative play. I'm trying to, like, obviously I think the Solana ones are running at a premium because of airdrops and that type of stuff. So I'm waiting for a bit of a pullback on either the ETH or the Solana collections. I think that's not a bad shout. There's some other plays that I am looking at. Obviously gaming narrative is a big one. So NFTs and tokens that are in that gaming narrative, I think are just a no brainer for this cycle. One I am considering is also a V1 Punk. Obviously, I know Nick has a V2 Punk, but I think V1 Punks, when they will see their day, it's just there's not much liquidity there, and that's locking up for ETH for, who knows, it could be a year before you see returns there. So my consideration there is whether ETH outperforms a V1 Punk in that type of moment, whereas I think my reasoning with picking up a Bitcoin Frog is because I think Bitcoin Frogs probably outpace Bitcoin in the next couple months.
How much is Kanpai Pandas paying you, Pio?
I'm just asking about an NFT project, jackass. Real quick, Greeny. Greeny, how high do you think CryptoPunks can go?
Oh, I don't even know what the floor is now, Nick. What's the floor? Talk to me.
It's $130,000.
My target would be $50 billion for every single CryptoPunk. That would be a good target. Greeny, back me up here.
I think that's a bit of a bullish target, Nick. I think a more realistic target might be, I think half a mil. I think that's not a bad shout. I think if we really see liquidity and interest from institutions, particularly if the ETFs really do take off and we see large bag holders come in, I think they could run even up to a mil potentially. But I'd say if Bored Apes can go to 450K last cycle, I don't see why Punks can't go to 500K this cycle.
If you had to buy one of these three, Moonbirds, Azuki, Doodles, what would you do?
I put my money elsewhere. Look,
you have to do one, Greeny, for the game.
I do Doodles based on the art.
Wow, You really don't like those three, huh?
Probably not, no.
D-Gods, Mutant Ape Yacht Club, or Captains?
Captains.
No-brainer?
I think so, yeah.
Very interesting. Other deed, Shrapnel, Grapes.
Shrapnel, for sure.
Oh! Look at that. Okay.
I feel sorry for Clemente because he was checking out the grape token and shilling it in the Discord, and I was telling him it was at good levels to buy, and yeah, it's gone down. So I apologize, Clemente.
Shrapnel's able to get a team of developers to figure out how to build on top of this bullshit called blockchain. You know, that's what I'll tell you that much. That I'm pretty excited to play the first person shooter. That they're going to be probably the smoothest experience for
a shitty ecosystem, right?
Yeah, the shitty ecosystem that is called Web3 apps. I mean, Jesus.
One more. Mad Lads, Pudgy Penguins, Digidai Gaku.
Mad Lads.
Wow.
I think so. Yeah, I just think being the premier collection on Solana, just the connections that they have in the space, I think what they've done so far for holders, the community is so strong. I mean, plenty of different community chats in Mad Lads. They've got plenty of good alpha. They've got plenty of good connections. I just think maybe the upside of, I think the play on Solana as well is probably the way that I would play that as well.
Current floor, 143 Solana. All-time high, I want to say 220 Solana. You think...
Yeah, but you got to take the USD base price for
So 240 Sol, I think it hit, and the USD is obviously down a little bit now. I can't remember, it might be 15k USD at the moment or something, but it did pump over 20k USD, and I think I remember EZ said a while back that his targets were probably above that 50k region. I think I don't see why Mad Lads can't go to there, if not a little bit higher, if we get the right market conditions.
Do you think this NFT cycle? So I went from thinking this NFT cycle would not be bigger than the last one to thinking that it is going to be bigger than the last one. Do you think it's going to be bigger than the last one?
I think it's going to be different because last cycle was predominantly ETH, right? And now we've got Ordinals, now we've got Solana, and now we've got even other, like Injective has NFTs, Avalanche has NFTs. So I think it's just going to be more widespread. And so liquidity is going to flow across the space a bit more than compared to last cycle.
Okay. Look, people want me to ask you about Bodagos. And as Nick leaves, of course, I don't know how to do this, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't IBS like Kevin, dude. So I'm sorry.
Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, Nick will just like say this stuff. He'll say it in public too, in social settings. We had just gotten out of a nice dinner at the Solana Breakpoint conference, and someone asked him where he'd been for the past 10 minutes, and he just loudly to a group of people.
Okay. we don't need to discuss that. Thank you.
That's where the line is drawn?
Yeah, I mean, I said that to five people. I didn't out it to an entire audience of 1,000 people listening. So no.
Okay. Well, anyway, I don't know how to ask guest panelists about price predictions for our NFT project. I don't know what the rules are. So that's why I don't do it.
Don't do it.
There you go. Look at that. So I'm not going to do it, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm just letting you know. Greeny, any closing thoughts about anything crypto NFT related before we let you go?
Look, I'll comment on the Bodagos. Shout out to the Bodagos because at the end of the day, they were the ones that brought me to Solana on midday. So shout out to you guys for that because I hadn't obviously dabbled in Solana pre-Bodago days. So I am a minter. I'm a holder, obviously a bone collector. And I think obviously you guys have done a great job over the past couple of years. I've been a fan. I've watched your show for 2 to 3 years now. So I think I'm placing my bets in the people, the founders, but also what you guys do every single day. So no, I am bullish on the Bodagos. Don't get me wrong, guys. And obviously I won't talk too much about it, obviously, because you guys are the Bodagos.
Well, we'll appreciate the kind words, Greeny. So Greeny, people should follow you on Twitter on X platform at Greeny_ETH. That's GREENY_ETH. You've got a link tree right there on the X platform profile where you link to your YouTube. Your YouTube is getting legit traction. Wow, man, you got 200,000 views on this tweet with your kind of previous cycle stories. That's really, really cool to see. But anyway, what was I going to say? Your YouTube, People should really check it out. I view you as an absolute like up and coming crypto YouTuber. We got to get your microphone and camera set up on point. And I'm going to DM you about that and help you out with that. But getting 10,000 views on a YouTube video for a crypto video is no joke. And I expect it to only go up. And I would not be surprised if some of the bigger YouTubers like Elio Trades and others end up taking notice of you and asking you to be on their shows too. Do we have a handle for the YouTube channel or are we not there yet?
No, it should be the same handle. So Greeny_ETH should be the same one. So yeah.
There you go. And Miguel Ribeiro, a longtime listener of the show, is asking, do you also have an OnlyFans?
Oh, maybe I should start one for extra revenue. Maybe not a bad idea, actually.
There you go. Well, ladies and gentlemen, follow Greeny on X. I know he's also got Telegram groups and things like that, your typical kind of crypto trading stuff, but an above board version, ladies and gentlemen, not a bullshit, you know, scammer version. Anyway, check out the YouTube channel at Greeny_ETH is the handle. We appreciate you all listening. This is the last show of 2023. So everybody, hope everyone has a wonderful, wonderful new year, and we will see you next year. Next year is going to have some fireworks. I can already feel it when it comes to crypto and NFTs. Joe McCann on Pomp's podcast said he expects it to be a boom year, election year, a year where we could see Fed rate cuts for the first time in over 12 months, Bitcoin halving, ETF approval, Middle Eastern sovereign funds getting into Bitcoin, a lot of stuff going on that could potentially position 2024 for a big year. Hope everyone has a safe New Year's. Don't drive drunk. Don't do any weird stuff. And anyway, we'll catch you next time. Thanks for listening, everybody. We've been doing this show for 2+ years and we're not stopping. 5 days a week, 9 a.m. Eastern time, each and every week.